Well, back to school is coming up fast, and the new president of the Provincial Teachers Union is starting work this week, too. Dean Ingram has a lot on his plate. Slow-moving contract talks, tight budgets, and an education system struggling so badly, the premier's task force recommended 82 changes in a report released just last week. Dean Ingram is on the line now. Good morning to you, sir.
And good morning to you as well.
Why take this job now?
Well, I think right now, as you mentioned in your prelude, there's certainly a lot of issues happening in education, undoubtedly. I mean, the Premier's task force, the Premier's report that was released last week certainly illustrates a number of the challenges. I mean, those 82 recommendations stem from identified concerns with the system the way it is. I mean, but the one thing that has to be realized is that what the Premier's task force arrived at, their conclusions, in many ways mirror that which we found in a panel report that we engaged and we partnered with last year, partnered with other agencies. I mean, the concerns that were identified certainly are nothing new. As to why to take this on, I think it's critically important that the voice of the teacher in the province, the voice of our members, certainly speaks loudly and clearly, certainly needs to be consulted going forward. And I'm very pleased. Sorry, apologies. Please go ahead.
Tell me a little bit about your own teaching experience, your own background in the teaching field.
Well, I've been teaching for 25 years, and certainly my teaching experience is certainly wide and varied. And most recently, I've been working as a distance education instructor in the province, teaching high school science to a number of schools, many of which are actually in Labrador, from Black Tickle to Rigolette to Nain to Cartwright. Many of the communities in Labrador have had the experience of teaching students and working with the schools there. So I've had a varied career from administration to classroom teacher and most recently as a distance education instructor.
So let's dive into some of these issues that you are facing in the coming school year. Kathy Bennett has resigned from her post as finance minister. Now Tom Osborne is in. How do you think that will affect contract negotiations when it comes to going to the department and working out a new deal for teachers?
Well, I don't think that Minister Bennett or Minister Osborne, whoever's in that chair, will really affect our negotiations to any great extent. I mean, the situation is that the NLT will certainly work with and engage in discussions with whoever the minister is. The big thing going forward is that we want to ensure that we have a true, honest set of negotiation that complies with both legislation and complies with the process as it needs to be. And I'm looking forward to engaging those discussions over the coming weeks and months. To date, we have exchanged packs with the employer, and both sides are aware of open positions, and the dialogue needs to continue to make sure a fair deal is reached for our members.
And how do you feel? I mean, I know you're just stepping into this role, but, you know, what have you heard from your predecessor about how those talks and, I guess, the nature of the relationship is right now?
Well, I think right now, in terms of the process previous to this, I was actually, as vice president, which I was for 4 years, I actually chaired our negotiations. Mm. But to pass commentary on the way things have gone previously, I don't think that would be doing justice to the process. I think it's the process has been unfolding. We have engaged in discussion. We have exchanged positions, and things will unfold.
So back to the classroom now. We've heard about a lot of challenges that teachers face in this province, and certainly from the Inside the Classroom series earlier this year with CBC's Ramona Deering. We've also been taking a look at that task force report with 82 changes recommended. What's the biggest issue that you and that teachers see as they gear up for the return to school?
I think there's certainly a number of key and critical issues going forward. I mean, fact of the matter is, this fall, the issues that were present last spring, those issues are still there. I mean, we still have concerns with class sizes in some of our metro areas, certainly. We certainly have concerns with the provision of supports, school counselors, school psychologists. We certainly have an issue with wait times on professional services, SLP services, and the like. Inclusive education always is and has been an issue for a while. I mean, this one thing I was pleased with, I think I can speak for you, I speak to the association in saying that the modeling encouragement, were encouraged by the recommendations there regarding inclusive education. But in my career, this marks the third time I've seen a revision of the student support service to be provided. 1998, there was a revision back in 2008 and now in 2017. Going forward, I think it's critically important that what has to be done is that these recommendations that are brought forward need to be actually effectively implemented. And we'd be certainly interested in engaging in conversation and being consulted as to how best and how most effectively to implement those for the betterment of teachers and the education system.
And what is it going to take to do that? I mean, it's going to take compromise, I imagine, from both sides. And I imagine it's going to take teachers doing a lot of things that they never had to do before, or different, you know, different ways of working.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily different, yes, but at the end of the day, there's a huge concern with regards to teacher workload. And doing things differently would not be a concern. But doing more absolutely would be. The reality is that the teaching situation in this province is such that many of our members are overworked. Many of our workers are overburdened. There's numerous studies indicate the issues surrounding student mental health that need address. And what has to happen is that in this process, government, who does set priorities for the province, do set budgetary conditions for the province, has to make a decision as to what their priorities are. And the argument, yes, would be that we can't afford to, but this province is truly determined to build a first-rate quality education system that all of our citizens deserve, regardless of locality, regardless of situation. The question maybe needs to be asked, can we afford not to?
I mean, when you look through the report from the Premier's Task Force that was released last week, it's clear that we're far from first rate. I mean, we're near the bottom in a lot of different areas, including math and literacy, some of the key things that children need to get better at. So what do teachers want parents to know about the kind of education that their children will get?
Well, one thing I can say is that teachers are professionals, and they will deliver to the best of their ability the curriculum which government sets them for. The Department of Education writes curriculum documents, and teachers are charged with delivering the curriculum as written to the students within their charge. Parents can rest assured that the teachers will work to the best of their abilities in this situation to deliver that curriculum in the manner as best they can. That's not even discussable. That's what teachers do. So teachers will continue to advocate, teach through their association, to actually put the investments in the system to make sure their child does indeed get the system and quality of education that they deserve. But that's where things are with teachers. We will do what we can to make sure that quality education system is delivered.
September is coming up fast. This will be the second year of all-day kindergarten. Any big lessons from year one?
Well, I think one of the lessons that has been taken from it is that the full-day kindergarten program, certainly there are some merits in it, but the concerns with full-day kindergarten, when it was implemented, it speaks to what happens when there's not sufficient consultation on rollout of any new initiative. I think on the full-day kindergarten, one of the things was that there was a redirection of resources. One thing, while in that task force, there are a number of recommendations there that speak to improvements. They speak to looking through smaller class size groupings and some of the other things. But the concern is that if the implementation phase involves a redirection of resources, there will be some concerns with the rollout and improvements that we gleaned. I mean, full-day kindergarten was brought in. We certainly were not opposed to the full-day kindergarten initiative. In fact, we've had a long-standing policy advocating for exactly that. But when full-day kindergarten was brought in, one of the things that was done to actually accommodate the additional teaching resource that were needed was there was change in class size ratios to glean back the extra units or find the extra units to support full-day kindergarten. So if there's a lesson to be learned from full-day kindergarten, we can't really rob Peter to pay Paul. Implementation has to be done to actually effectively enhance the system without taking away from other parts of the system.
All right, we'll leave it there for this morning. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so very much. Have a great day.
Dean Ingram is president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association. If you want to weigh in on what Mr. Ingram had to say, call our talkback lines 896-3509-1888-699-8255 or email us labradormorning@cbc.ca.